Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. It is February 26th, and I'm going to give you a brief rundown of what we are here to talk about today. So for starters, it was a crazy, crazy week of prices again that we saw. We're seeing some new inventory coming on. Bit of a change there we're going to go over. I want to talk quickly about Twitter. Investor calls to cash out. I want to go over that quickly. We're going to have a little bit of discussion about Ukraine and its implications for you if you're in the middle of trying to make decisions right now about what to do in terms of your moves. And then in terms of that, a couple of sub points that we're going to mention: A, potential immigration boom; B, oil spikes and some potential movement inter-Canada there; and then C, some commentary on interest rates. So let's get into it. I'm going to start by saying, hey, we've been doing a video a week, keeping it going, kind of evolving into this vlog style. Somewhat of every week, I'm going to have the narrative that's talking about basically price movement and news headlines in that are relevant to you in Peterborough, Ontario, most specifically, but really Ontario real estate. It's all part and parcel. We're all affected by so many of the same factors that whatever's going on in the GTA, Kitchener, Oshawa, you talk about one, you're talking about the same, because we have so many of the same variables that are affecting what's happening in whether you're a buyer or seller locally here in Peterborough and the Kawarthas right now. So we're carrying on this discussion week by week. So if you guys aren't already subscribed, and I see a lot of people that watch the videos aren't subscribers, please do subscribe. It's extremely helpful to keep the channel growing. The view count's been great. Thank you to everybody who shared, and give it a quick like. Amazing. Moving on, let's talk about what happened this week in real estate in Peterborough. First off, prices are crazy. Every time now that I talk to people, it's amazing how fast it has moved, because in discussions with people who think, you know, obviously we all, it's a modern day obsession, Canadian obsession. I have so many friends that are on all of these apps, House Sigma. They're tracking, trolling prices, even if they're somewhat just really casually, like a two-year projection that they're going to re-enter the market. Everybody's watching what's happening because it has so much effect on their livelihood. And so even the people that are very well self-educated on prices, when I talk to them now about what some things are worth, they're blown away at how quick things have moved. So even if you thought you were up on pricing 3 weeks ago, you might be surprised. Some of the comparables, some of the properties, the sold prices that are happening out there are absolutely astronomical, will blow your mind. You're hearing numbers on streets that don't add up. You know, you're hearing things like we had an 885 on Wolseley, 885,000, you know. They're these type of numbers in some of the old North End wartime districts, wartime housing districts. Absolutely insane. So that's where we're at. We're at absolutely all-time peaks here on prices. But what is next? Let's talk about that. So week over week, starting to see a little bit more inventory coming on right now than what we were. And we're tracking this weekly because it's hard. Everything's moving so quickly. Everyone's so nervous. On the buying side, people are so, so nervous, and rightfully so, because nobody wants to buy at the peak of what they, you know, in the back of their mind and hearts are worried might be, you know, some catastrophic purchase to make if things drop and they lose their life's savings and get upside down on something as interest rates rise here. So we are watching the inventory week by week. And I did see a bit of an uptick this week, just a bit of a trend where typically when we log on to our system, you know, I see on a 3-day basis or on a 24-hour basis, you know, 10 new listings, 10 firm sales, and they're just moving in lockstep. 20 new listings, 20 firm sales. And for the first time this week, I started to consistently see, at least for several days in a row, 20 new listings, 10 firm sales, 20 new listings, 10 firm sales. So more listings than sales, inventory picking up. all it takes is a trend reversal in the trajectory of the inventory. That alone can make it so that all of a sudden the buyer confidence goes vroom, or the FOMO drops a little bit, the fear of missing out drops a little bit, and people just become a little bit aggressive in these bidding wars. So if this trend continues, we'll be watching it, and next month's video will be the full breakdown of February statistics, if they're out in time, by the time I put out the video. So we'll do a full breakdown of February next month. But if the trend continues the way the inventory has been going, we're looking at the same thing we did last year, where the spring market's going to be a bit softer. Instead of 10 offers on a property, you're going to have 3 to 5, and people will arguably have gotten better money for their property if they sold in February than if they do in March, if this carries on. And that's what happened last year. We saw in April, it was much less competitive. There was way more listings, and the buyers sort of got scattered and softened out, and people in April weren't getting the same prices that they got a month ago in March. Seems to be the way that it's going. In regards to so that exact little bit of information, there was a 3-day period this week when I saw 60 new listings come on and only 30 firm sales in the same 3-day period. Tweeted that, got it out on Twitter. I'm trying to get active on Twitter, so I just wanted to mention quickly. I'll try and post my handle here. I think it's just Mitch Cleary PTBO, at Mitch Cleary PTBO. Trying to get more active on there. So much great discussion by big, you know, economists, GTA agents, huge GTA financiers, mortgage brokers. There's just really a lot of great discussion going on in there. Real hard statistical talk that I love, and I've been watching it from the outside for far too long now. So I'm gonna try and start contributing a bit. So if you're on Twitter, you know, hit me up. There I am. I'm trying to get active there. So, and in that regard, what I wanted to say is it sounds like what we're seeing, we're always a bit of a laggard to the GTA. And the exact trends that we're starting to see here now, or I just saw in the last few days, I've been hearing discussion about over the last 2 weeks down in Toronto. And so we'll, you know, it will continue to ripple this way if it sustains itself there. It's always this bit of a lag where it comes around, whatever's happening in Toronto ripples its way down here. Could take a couple weeks, could take a month, but sure enough, whatever happens there is gonna work its way through to us. So on that note, I'm hearing lots of discussion from agents there. Hey, you know, 3 offers on a property that a couple weeks ago we would have thought would have got 10. And instead of selling 400,000 over, it went 200,000 over, right? Just relatively speaking, less crazy. Still crazy, but less crazy. And a trend, a trajectory to a bit of a slowing down here. So let's move on to investor cash out calls. Phone has been blown up with investors calling saying, hey, I'm ready to sell. I own multiple properties. I'm ready to get rid of a few. So that's new. This time last year, people were, you know, really, even 3 months ago, we knew it was just not a time to sell. Inventory was so low. It was inevitable that prices would shoot up another 100K in the short term. If you guys have been following and watching along, I've been calling that out right back from November, December, and boom, it happened. When there's 15 active houses for sale on the market, hang on, we're in for a wild ride. And then there it goes. Now look at, we've shot up 20% in a couple of months. But now everyone's getting this irking feeling. You know, interest rate hikes are likely coming right around the corner here with this announcement again in March. And then if the Bank of Canada holds true to their word, ba-boom, 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 they're going to keep coming. And the cost of money is going to go up. So a lot of people are very happy with the gains that they have seen recently. And they're saying, hey, that's enough for me. I want out. There's no more that I need out of this thing. A lot of people in their mid or late 30s, early 40s can basically call it a day and retire. If they got their principal residence, you can sell one or two properties. There's a lot of money to be realized by selling those properties right now. And so we're getting more calls than I have seen in the last couple of years from investors saying, I've seen enough. I'm getting off this ride. I'm happy. These prices, how much higher can they go? So it seems that the sentiment is shifting and a lot of people in their own guts are starting to call the top. So moving on. Now, guys, I'm treading carefully here. Ukraine. I wasn't going to mention anything about it. I was really not too sure whether it was something that was a palatable thing to talk about. But the reason that I have decided to is because I've already been getting calls from people that are worried, just people who are trying to decide, do I, the timing of moving their families' lives, you know, a few kids and or people going through you know, tough situations in their lives where they got to decide, do I sell a property now or do I wait? And people have to make these big decisions and they're weighing all these factors in. And, you know, people are calling looking for advice. They are very well aware of what's going on in the global picture. And they want to know, is it wise to wait? What's going to happen? How is this going to affect the big picture? So I think, you know, beyond right or wrong to talk about Ukraine and real estate in the same sentence, people are worried and they're this is a discussion that's happening, whether or not, you know, where it sits on the moral spectrum of things. So my absolute deepest condolences to all that are affected in the deepest manner over there in Ukraine, and of course you know, God bless our support from Canada over to them and all of NATO there. So on to how does that affect us? What does it mean? What does it all mean? This has escalated quickly enough and it's gone deep enough already. We know this is not a quick thing. This is not going to be over quickly. Just like when the pandemic started and in lockdown first, you know, lockdown for 2 weeks, everybody knew this is not 2 weeks. You can sense just too much change too quick. It's not reversing in 2 weeks. And that's where we're at right now with the situation over in Europe, is that there's no quick way out of this now. It's too many things have happened so quickly that history is changing rapidly. So what does it mean? I think that some people have already been calling under the mindset, like, is this going to rock the market? Should I sell now because things are going to tank? Uncertainty, everyone clinching up, holding on to their dollars, because what's going to happen? Are we going to war? And is our economy going to be shut down? And pardon me, guys, that's a legitimate concern. But here's what I see as more likely in the short term. Just and bear in mind, I'm just a Peterborough real estate agent. These are not qualified opinions. For everyone who comes on here and listens to what I have to say, thank you so much for listening. And I hope, take it with a grain of salt. I think about this stuff all the time. I have these discussions regularly, but clearly none of us have the ability to predict the future. So we're just merely making inferences based off of what we have, how we've interpreted past events, recent past events, albeit, and we're predicting probabilities, we're projecting into the future, and we're talking about likelihoods of scenarios, and then just trying to weight them with probability so that we can make decisions about our own livelihoods accordingly. And so with that being said, let's make some prescriptions here. The liberal immigration boom, if we'll remember back, it started in 2015 with the Syrian refugee crisis. And I think what we're going to see, I mean, we're already heading for absolutely massive immigration numbers. You know, they're upping their targets every year, and they're already future projecting the next 3 years out. They're going to be ratcheting it up each year above 400,000 further, talking about, you know, 1.3 plus million over the next 3 years. And just to make an observation, or it's our government's tendency in the past has been, the liberal government thrives on these feel good stories, the humanitarian, you know, push to rally people around their cause. And so are we likely to see even potentially higher immigration targets under the guise that we have many Ukrainians moving towards their western border on Poland, and that are going to need somewhere to go quickly, and being displaced, needing a safe haven. Is it a chance that we'll see Trudeau come step up to the podium? You know, everybody's welcome here. And although our targets were already beyond what we could support with real dwellings, real shelter, you know, to have targets next year for 400,000 plus and not be able to support that with dwellings in real terms, in terms of what we can build here, at least in Ontario, that even though we could say, okay, we're going to take, for over the next short term, 80% of that will be Ukrainians who have been displaced. You could take that route and say, hey, we're going to keep our same huge, huge, lofty, you know, good target there, and we're going to make them Ukrainians who are displaced, refugees there. And you could do that route, but there is the chance that they use this instead to up their numbers even higher and say we're going to immigrate 450,000. I don't know. I'm just saying this is not that's not a professional opinion. I haven't read an article. I have no intelligence whatsoever to say that. It just seems to be that each time there's a crisis, this government will use it to further their stretch their already established mandates. And why would they do that? Obviously, it gives people something to say, hey, you know, Trudeau might up his approval, get some support going again after what just happened in Ottawa and the Emergencies Act and whatnot. And also, obviously, most who move here, who, you know, whoever brought them in that time, the government at the time, is they're likely to be looked somewhat favorably upon, and arguably every year the Liberal government is just growing their moat, their impenetrable voter base further and further and further, the more loyals that they bring in from abroad. So it's my own personal opinion. This is just a personal opinion that we were having a very, very difficult time growing our gross domestic product in ballooning debts. And it's clear to me, at least, that the one way that our government sees out of that is just through upping our GDP, not increasing our GDP per capita through productivity, but just upping the GDP period through adding more people. So growing the tax base, more people. So I think that there's a chance. I could be way off the mark on this. Time will tell. Relatively quickly here now, but they might, maybe they'll stretch their immigration targets again, which is that's gonna be a signal to investors out there, hey, you know, pro housing, long housing, bullish on housing. And so let's talk oil. Oil set to spike, all these sanctions against Russia. Russia is, I don't know the facts and figures off by heart. There's times when I worked in the oil patch when I knew them much more intimately, but Russia provides a lot of the world with their oil and gas. And now it's likely set to spike in the short term beyond what it already has. We've been in a bit of an oil shock already. And what's that going to do? I mean, the Canadian oil market doesn't move in lockstep with a lot of the rest of the oil market, because there's a lot of different steps in between taking Canadian crude and turning it into our commonly bought and sold gasoline or oil products, not the least of which is our transport. How do we get it from A to B? But there's all kinds of bottlenecks and hurdles that go with so there's a little bit of a lack of responsiveness with our Canadian oil and what's going on with the big oil picture. It's always a laggard, but nonetheless, likely it will become more valuable, and there'll be some more oil investment dollars going on right now, and the wages will, the jobs could return very, very quickly in Alberta. So Canada can be looked upon favorably again from all standpoints in terms of an immigration, one, safe haven, two, some jobs based on our oil. But what I want to say is that we could, for the same reason that cities like ours, Peterborough, saw a massive boom ever since the pandemic has happened, was interprovincial migration, the GTA exodus. We saw massive amounts of new populace moving out of the city and into the rural surrounding areas, such as Peterborough. what we could see now with these oil spikes is a return to these, you know, great labor jobs out in Alberta. And I know, I mean, I had a, you know, prosperous young 20s, many of my friends did, but thanks to the oil market in Alberta, spent a number of years out there, great years working great jobs and making really good money for what we were doing in oil and gas. And those jobs could return. And you could see a lot of Ontario folk who look at, hey, I mean, a house here is 10 times my annual income. And over there, I can move over there, use my hands and go make 100 grand a year. And I can buy a home for $350,000 attached to a 5-year-old bungalow. You might see a shift, a movement in populace from Ontario over there. That's a factor that could play out. We'll see. It's just one hypothesis about what might play out here if oil really goes crazy, is that we could see people starting to flock out of Ontario, say, hey, I'm out of here. It's too expensive. There's no real jobs that I want. I'm going to Alberta. I'm going to get the oil money. It's possible. So let's see how that plays out. And then lastly, and this is a very important one, so I'm sorry I've left it to 20 minutes into this video, is interest rates. There is a chance that with the uncertainty that exists now, given the global picture, economic sanctions, what's going on, just the lack of peace and stability, there is a chance that even though the inflationary pressures arguably will just be worse as we ratchet down on all the, you know, there's a chance that it, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen, but there's a chance that China gets involved with sanctions here and a pro-Russia-China alliance, and the free flow of goods between all countries gets bottlenecked a little bit here, and inflationary pressures go up. But the economic uncertainty of the future could lead the Bank of Canada to waffle once again on raising rates. They could use this to come over and say, guys, we don't know what's going to play out here. We're very worried. The big picture for the economy is not good right now. And either A, instead of making a couple of quick rate hikes like they said they would, or instead of doing a half point, you know, it'll definitely just be a quarter point. And then do they already just go, hey, too much has changed since we last spoke. I know we're going to upset a lot of people, but do they push off another rate hike here in March? And if they do, I think that you're going to get a lot of people, a lot of smart money that's just going to get the picture here that no matter what happens, there's always going to be some crisis in the world, and this bank just isn't going to crank up the cost of money, and that we just have modern monetary theory fully evolving and playing out here, and we are pro print, pro inflation, right till the end of the line. You know, that's a possibility. So that's not a prediction. That's just some commentary. Let's see how it unfolds. Does that happen? Is there any? You let me know. Do you think there's any chance that happens? I think it'd be a big, very controversial thing if they don't raise rates. But I feel like there's an off chance that it could happen. So, hey, sorry for such a long rant. The last note I'm going to make is I finally got these mics dialed in. I have owned these puppies for 2 months now or longer. And thank you very much to the wonderful Chris Brockhurst. I got to give him a shout out. He's a videographer here locally in Peterborough, him and his wonderful wife, Carrie. And man, they got me fixed up. He sorted out. There's a whole switchboard over there that I did not know how to use. He helped me with the audio. And what that means is that there's a chance this is our first podcast episode. Because now that the audio is dialed in, I want to start getting this stuff up so you guys can digest this just in the audio format when you're driving, if you want, if you don't want to have to stare at my mug for 20 minutes while you listen to this message. And we want to keep it going weekly. And hey, maybe it's the first podcast episode, but if this isn't it, it's coming soon. And I do have another mic over there, so there will be some guests, and you won't just have to always listen to me anymore. So that's good news too. Anyways, thanks so much everybody for tuning in. I'm really looking forward to hearing your own comments and takes on anything that I said today. Well, you know, respectful discussion. Let's have it. Let's hash all this stuff out and try and make informed decisions here as Canadians, that for better or for worse, we have decisions to make with our own lives moving ahead in this economy about how we survive. and we want to do it in an informed and intelligent manner. So let's keep the discussion going, and I hope everybody has a great weekend. Take care, and we'll see you next week with a full market update.